Welcome back to Musings of a Book Collector. These are the shiurim devoted to Masechta Schulin. This is episode number 4. Now, in the past 3 shiurim, we devoted to discussing about Eldar Adani, Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, and early works relating to Hilchos Shechita and Treifus. Now, continuing with that quest, which will also somehow drop tie into Eldar Adani, is another sefer. And that sefer is, and we will discuss the story of the sefer, how it came to existence, the history of the sefer, and especially its relationship to Masechtas Chulin. So the story goes like this. When I was preparing the shiur that I gave last week or 2 weeks ago about the Sfarma Masechtas Chulin, so I remembered that there's a sefer that I once bought from Meister of Cook called Igeres Hamoifis from Yid Reb Shmuel Jama. Now, Reb Shmuel Jama, so I saw the sefer. I had no idea what the sefer is about. I opened it up. Okay, one of those things that, you know, you buy because you have an addiction. At the sale, Meister of Cook, this is back in 2018 when it came out. I figured that it smelled. There's people that collect books know this. It's some type of feeling you have, a sixth sense that kicks in, that there's something unique about the sefer. Okay, but the question always is okay, great, you can. It's never endless. When are you going to ever get to it? Okay, fine. Anyway, so as I'm preparing the shiur, I remember that this sefer might have to do with chulin, and I said, okay, let me try to dig it out, which is always a challenge in this room, in my svarim, living in Eretz Yisrael. Anyone who collects svarim and lives in Eretz Yisrael knows about this challenge. Okay. Somehow, Siyata Shmaya, I was able to locate the work, and I'm so happy that I did, and it will become evident from the next discussions about the sefer. I went through the sefer, and I must say, a world was opened up to me. It's a beyond chash of a sefer from Masechtas Chulin. It deals with lots of chulin. So I decided, for curiosity, originally I was just going to speak about the sefer for 3-4 minutes, but as I went through the sefer and I saw what's happening and a lot of different things, so I said, you know what, let me go through it a little longer. I don't know how long it will be today. It will be just one episode or longer, but here's the discussion. So already it has, as I said, it's a strange name, Igeres Hamoifis. The answer is it's translated from Arabic. It was written in Judeo-Arabic, and it's about Kashrus Bali Chayim. I'm not even going to attempt to say the name in Hebrew, in Arabic. And we have this mechaber. Fine. Okay, it has askamas. Very nice. And then, why the guy who puts it out, which we'll get to. And he has a introduction about it, how he got to the sefer. And then right away he has something, it says, you see on the top, Michtov from Avram Ibn Ezra. And then he has some type of hagdama, as authors tend to do when they put, editors tend to do when they put out the sefer. Fine. So basically it's like this. You start looking carefully and you start seeing, you want to know, how does one find, is there any information about this person? Who was he? When does he live? Even that's very unclear. But okay, you have some context because there's something, some type of letter from that this guy publishes in the beginning of the sefer from him and Ibn Ezra. Okay, so as I'm very fond of saying, the go-to sefer you want to start looking into, Svarim, authors and stuff like that, you go to look at the Chidah, Shem Gdel, no entry about him. Okay, say there, even though the Chidah saw what he saw, there's still stuff that he didn't see. Okay, so I go to more current books that are out there that are valuable for, you know, you want to just know a quick piece of information about when someone lived, do we know anything about him? So one such sefer is a sefer from a Avram Weiss in Bnei Brak called Shemais Chachamim. He put out on Rishayim and on Achrayim. And recently, I think he updated one of them. And this is the one. So I look at the Rishayim. Okay, no entry devoted just to him, but he does have very valuable indexes because sometimes he might talk about a person in the footnotes. So he does talk about him in the entry on the Itur. And he says like this, he's brought that this Reb Shmuel is quoted where in the Itur. He wrote a chibur on Chas, L'chol HaPachas on Masechta Sanhedrin. The Itur quotes it. He must have written a sefer, Hilchos Shechita, in Arabic. The Itur quotes it. And the Itur brings him something from the Rif. Okay. Now this, you have to understand, this work, Shem's Chacham, came out when? It's redone, so it came out last year. Okay. Now, there's another go-to sefer people like to use. called Eitzar Gedolim. And Eitzar Gedolim was finished in the 1970s. I think the author, it came out between 1967 and 1970. I think the author died in the early 70s. His name was Reb Naftali Yaakov HaKohen. And people like to use it because he has entries about everyone, and it's very valuable. Okay, here he has entries. He tells us about him. He got to know the Ibn Ezra. Okay. He does mention that it seems the Ibn Ezra might have written a sefer for him. He names the sefer. He gives us a shirim that the Ibn Ezra composed a song for him. Okay. And then he says he wrote Chiburim on Shas. It's quoted in the Itur, including Sanhedrin. And then he says the Shibali Aleket seems to quote him. He also says he had some type of sefer like the Aruch, which has hard words, of Peter Seda Aleph Beis. It's called Elef HaMagen. It's found in libraries. And the introduction is printed in the Sefer Lekutei Kadmonis. Okay, so this is very interesting. This is an entry about him in the 1970s. Okay, and the book was recently reprinted. Okay. A third very, very valuable book, personally, I find is very valuable. One wants to know the Halachic Rishonim, the Ga'inim, the Rishonim, their works, and very well done. It's from Yitzhak Shilat. It's called Al Rishonim. So he already has an entry. He puts him actually in a period of time. He talks about him. He says that he wrote some type of, he has a work on relating to the Aruch called the Agur, which was published in 1888. In 1978, it was republished. And then in the year 2012, a part of a work of his on Hilcha Shechita was published by Saman Gershuni. Thought, where does he put him in? That he is after, he is the same generation as the father of the Rambam. Okay. So far, we have a few pieces of information, but more than, but we can still see that it's, except for this fellow, this Naftali HaKohen. Okay, but now the problem with Naftali HaKohen is that he doesn't give sources where he gets this beautiful information that he has. Not that it's not true, it could be it's true, but where does he get it? So there's a shita that he must have had in writing history at that period of time, you know, not so careful about the sources. Okay, whatever, not getting into that right now. It requires a special review into his work and his methods. Okay, so in general, let's move further back. Let's say someone wants to find out about a sefer, and you're living in the 1800s, and you want to know if there's a good work, a manuscript to work on, or something like that. You're living early 1800s. So what do? You want to know, or you just want to know information about a sefer, or let's say you want to know about this Reb Shmuel, what would you do? So as I said, you could check in the Chida, and we already, the Chida was already out, early 1800s. But we said, it's empty. When you look by the Chida, there's no entry about him. So what does one do? So there was a non-Jew named De Rossi, who was from Italy, and literally the same year as the Chida is working on his work, he's working on putting out, for whatever reasons, he's working on Jewish bibliography and Sfarim and all this type of stuff. And eventually, he collects manuscripts. In 1802, he publishes a work of his on the manuscripts that he owns. Now, he publishes books about Sfarim also, and they're written, I think, in Latin. And, okay. And his main interest, I think, was the Bible. But he had other interests. Now, one could read up about him briefly in the excellent work. I cannot overemphasize how this is the greatness of this book, but it's from fellow Brisman. It's called a History and Guide to Judaic Bibliography. So he has a few pages about him, but this is the excellent book about, in general, about Jewish bibliography. And fine. So we learn about this fellow, De Rossi. Fine. So, and his motivations, obviously, it's a much greater story. Fine. So he collects manuscripts and he publishes it. Fine. So now, there's a Yid, Shlomo Yehuda Rappaport, Rav of Prague, known as Shir. So he is fascinated with history, amongst many other things, and Ga'inic material, and the Aruch, for example. For example, the Aruch, besides for that he's into language and he feels very important when you're learning to understand the Perusha Milim and stuff like that, he understood the greatness, what's going on in the Aruch, the world of material that's in there, of Gaonic materials before the Aruch. And he wrote about the Aruch, a beautiful article. Anyway, so he was going to put out, it seems, a work called Erech Milin, and we're not going to get into what the goal of this work is, but it's based on the Seder Aleph Beis. It doesn't get too far. But in the beginning of the book, he talks about the Aruch. And he wants to know, are there other works, as I said, he's fascinated with Aruch, are there other works out there that would help someone who's an Aruch guy, early works about the Aruch? So he says, I read this book from this Dirasi. And in this fellow's book, I see there are two entries about an ancient work on the Aruch. Okay. So Taka, you go check up Dirasi's book, and entry number 140 and 180 is about manuscripts that he had, old Aruchs, and they had in it information, and it turns out it's from this Reb Shmuel Jama. Fine. Already, it seems that by Dirasi is called Agur, so Reb Shmuel Agur. Fine, and we'll get to why that, where that name comes from. So he says, so now, this is where, so now, Shir is very curious about it. And as I said, he's a master historian, besides his other milos. And he puts together that work that Dirasi is referring to on the Aruch, and Dirasi names the person, his name is Reb Shmuel Gama, or Shmuel Agur, whatever you want to call him. And now the key piece of information already from there is that work is written by someone that lived right after the Aruch, in a 40-45 year period of time, that's what they estimate. So it says like this. Says Shir, I saw a manuscript of the Itor, Chelik Beis. Where was this Itor, a manuscript? It's floating around Galicia, in Tarnopol, in the library of my friend Yosef Perl, the enemy of Hasidim. And he left behind this manuscript to his son. And Kitzer, I copied down, when I saw this manuscript, different things. And he has part of his Sefer is devoted, that was not published yet, is on Hilcha Shechita, Mila, Kesher Tefillin, Tzitzis, etc. Obviously, this is tying to the Gemara Chulin, that's what Talmud Chacham should know. And he saw there, Upasak Rabbeinu Shmuel Ibn Gamya, B'Sanhedrin. And he wrote that down in his notes. Now, at this point in time, 1852, he does not have access to this Itur. So just to throw out there, the Itur is floating around Galicia, and we're not going to go travel and discuss where the Itur was until it gets published, but Rabbi Ephraim Zalmargolis already, earlier on, and Broid writes that he saw the Itur, and he brings it down in his work on Treifus a few times. Okay, it makes sense, because here we're talking about that this is a passage in Hilchos Shechita that Shir saw. Now, Shir says like this, based on this sentence that he says, is that there must be a person. Oh, he must be someone chashuv because the Itur is bringing him down. And he says Sanhedrin, so it must be. First of all, the Itur calls him Rabbeinu, so it must be he's a chashuv a yid. And second of all, Sanhedrin, so it must be he wrote works on Sanhedrin. Okay, fast. But he says, I sadly didn't write down anymore. And that's all we have from Shir on this topic. Okay, great. Now, others read Dirasi, not Shir was not the only one, many others, and the purpose of today, I'm not going to be listing out all the different articles and newspapers that were giving the play-by-play from the 1850s and onwards. I'm just going to try to give it in a few different a few different stops, so to speak, as they're of interest for the story to move on. But before that, I just need to give a general introduction, which is like this. There's a concept that I've mentioned already a bunch of times called the Republic of Letters, that how did Gedolim have contact with each other, or how did they handle learning? They didn't have a telephone. They had what was called a pen and paper. They would write to each other, and that's how they spoke in learning. Sometimes these letters could be about other topics. That was one way how they kept in contact, Gedolim. And a lot of times, tshuvas are not even so much, the tshuva is not more about, the question already passed. The answer already was, it's not negay, it's too late. Let's say it's about a piece of a behema, learning chulin. It's done. It's spoiled by the time he gets his answer. The point is to handle learning to see that the Rav would feel where he's coming from makes sense. And it's time to talk and learning. You could get lonely in some of these places. There was no one else to talk to. And there's a lot more behind that, but that's just a brief nakuda. A second thing was there was newspapers and journals. And what would happen in these newspapers and journals, besides the news, was that the intellectuals, Talmid Chachamim and Rabbanim, would write in, and they would see, and they would have all types of discussions throughout the newspaper. So you would subscribe to a newspaper or whatever, someone, your shtetl, subscribe to whatever, and you read. And this would be a window to get into about the tumults and learning, whatever it was. And this is part of a greater story about newspapers and journals, which even till today is very important. And most recently, I recorded and released behind the paywall two episodes about the Hamayan journal, which still comes out 4 times a year, and there's a greater story which eventually we'll get to discuss the point of having journals in general. Okay, now also you have to understand we're very spoiled. We have ChatGPT and all the different versions of AI. We have emails, we have phones, everything. We could get information from all over the world pretty fast for the most part. There's still sometimes that there are places that are backwards. But in those days, to build up a binyan, if you didn't have the material, it took time. So one guy would write one thing, and then one guy would realize another thing until it would get published, until it would be read. So it took time. So l'mashal, in 1857, a journal called Eitzer Nechmad comes out, and there, a writer, he points to that there's possible mention of him in the Shibali Aleket manuscript, because the Shibali Aleket was not yet published at that time. Okay. Fast forward, the story goes to 1860. There was a Yid Simcha Pinsker. Pinsker was a person who was expert in Karaic materials. He publishes a book called Likutei Karmanis, and he got this work on the Aruch that the Rashi refers to. He got pages from it. Where does he get pages from it? From a different manuscript, not the manuscripts that are the Rashi's manuscripts, which ended up safe in a library. From the famous Perkovitz, the famous Karoi, he had parts of this work on Aruch, and he gave it to him, and he publishes it. So already now, if someone was holding in the work, this type of work, Likutei Karmanis, he would be able to have some pages of this Reb Shmuel. Fine. Fast forward to 1862, the famous great bibliographical expert of Sfarim and who knows what more, Moshe Steinschneider, writes a long German article about a manuscript on Hilchos Shechita that he sees. This is in 1862, and he writes a beautiful article. Now, obviously, I don't read German, but today, thanks to all the great tools that are out there, AI, we're able to get a pretty good glimpse of what's going on in the article. And now, in general, one must say Steinschneider is considered one of the greatest bibliographical experts of Sfarim. His view, he had a view of Rishonim from everywhere, going to him, and he was on target many, many times. This article, he translates and transcribes lots of things, and he realized that this work is very interesting. But number one is, after everything is said and done, he was not able to identify who the author was. Even though, and not necessarily should he have been able to put it together because of the Iter information or something like that, because the Iter, there was not that much, and the Iter wasn't even published when he's writing his article in 1862. He comes to a conclusion based on different things, that it's someone after the Rambam. But he definitely understands that there's a lot of fascinating material in the Sefer. He brings down a lot of passages from the Sefer. But he does not come out, he does not know who it is. Now, I believe is that part of the reason was very simple. He was not sitting with this, when he wrote this article, and this is a very big problem even today, he was not holding in the Sefer anymore. It was based on notes that he had from over 10 years ago. So yeah, as great as he was, and as great as he had a memory, incredible memory, he was a man that was seeing manuscripts every day. He was learning Yayman Velayla, going through literature. So he didn't remember all the details. So even though he had in front of him scraps and quotes and different things, but it wasn't enough to be able to put together and penetrate the greatness of this Sefer. Fast forward, literally a year or two later, and the Carmel from Finn that comes out in Vilna, we have an article. This is 1863 from Shlaima Zalman Halberstam. Now here was a Yid who was also expert in Rishonim, a rich person, a rich Svarim collector, who not only did he collect, he understood the Rishonim that he was collecting, he was fascinated with it. So he publishes this massive article in the Carmel, and he puts together everything. He realizes that this Itur Xavian that Shear's already quoting, and the whole, all the pieces with the pieces that he now has a lot about Hilchos Shechita from Steinschneider's article, he realizes that number one is it's not furthermore he has the Iter, so he realizes that that he is quoted a few times by the Iter. But it's not a work on Sanhedrin. It was a raya in Sanhedrin, and Shear suspected that it's a work on Sanhedrin was only because he only quoted 6-7 words. If he would have quoted a few more words, he would have realized that he was referring to a raya based on a sugya in Sanhedrin. So now back to our sefer that we quoted all the way in the beginning, Shimush Shemus Chachamim. He got it wrong because he's assuming Sanhedrin, but he didn't even look up the passage. He's obviously getting it. This is how a lot of times the historical works go. One guy goes from the other guy, doesn't check up the first sources. So his assumption was that there's a work on Sanhedrin. It was all based on Shear's original toast, how it gets to Klisheni, Klishlishi, Klirevi, whatever. And the point is that already Halberstam is telling us, no, you look carefully, it's not at all a work on Sanhedrin. Now, it could be he wrote a work on Sanhedrin, but there's no writing from here. Okay. Anyway, he understands, he puts two and two together, and now he has that this work on Shechita is the same author. Okay. And he has this very nice article, and he also deals with other people. I told you, there are other people that wrote about this, and he deals with that in his article. He does, and it basically he says, Steinschneider, you're wrong, it's not the... it's not something from after the Rambam. Okay, fine. Now, what next happens? And the story goes like this. I mentioned already in the beginning, when you open up this volume, Igros HaMoifes, that comes out from Ezra of Cook, you see there's a connection to the Ibn Ezra. What's going on over here? So the answer is that materials of the Ibn Ezra, poetry that he wrote, was published in 1886 from a Yid, Dr. Akiva Iger. And over there, he publishes various things. And in one of the neschayis, one of the sentences, it says when he talks about Shmuel, Rabbeinu Shmuel, Echad bein sheni loy, ki ein kamayu bekala aretz. Now we all know that Ibn Ezra was one of those pessimistic people. So if he's writing good about someone, it must mean this person was very big. Turns out they have a relationship, and which gets us to the next thing. There was a chibur known as Chai ben Miketz. This is a chibur attributed in many places to the Ibn Ezra. Igros Chai ben Miketz was published a bunch of times. Now, Shapsi Bas, who's Reb Shapsi Bas, famous for being the author of the Sifsei Chachamim, who's the first Jewish bibliographer, was aware of it in manuscript, that it existed. I don't know if it's not necessarily that he saw it, but Lamashal, when Reb Avram ben Agra writes his notes in the Ksavyar, which we have on the Reb Shapsi Bas, is Sifsei Yeshanim, he points out that it was published by Reb Avram ben Agra's time, and it was published where? In the Tzel Olam, and also in an early edition of the Reishis Chachma. Fine. So what's this Chibur? It's a small little Chibur. It seems the Ibn Ezra wrote it. Fine. Fast forward. Who did he write it for? So looking at these pieces of poetry that this Rebbe Eger publishes, it seems that he wrote a letter, and there's all the materials written lechvayd, the Ibn Ezra wrote lechvayd, his good friend Reb Shmuel Gama. Jama, sorry. Now, fine. Now, in 1886, literally at the same time, Professor David Kaufman, he publishes in the Kovetz Al-Yad, the second volume that comes out at that time. And he says that it's not Ibn Ezra who wrote it. It's really it's based on materials of Ben Sina, way, way back, early doctor, not Jewish. But Ibn Ezra, it turns out, copies it for him. And what's going on? This is all beyond the scope of today. What's going on in this actual, in the story, in this Chibur? What's the relation? But it's clear is that Ibn Ezra is copying it. No, and there's obviously there's some type of connection why he's specifically copying L'chvayd, his good friend Reb Shmuel. But anyway, in the course of this material, there is located materials about Ibn Ezra praising him very, very highly. Okay. So now we get to the last stop in our story, and that is as follows. So up till now, there's just bits and pieces of his published. And if someone was living and you had internet and you were able to, your ChatGPT, you upload all this information, you'd be able to put together as follows. We have a Jew that he seemed to have written a work on Hilchos Shechita. He's quoted by the Iter. He also wrote something relating to the Aruch. And we even have passages from this work on Hilchos Shechita, thanks to Steinschneider. And he has a connection, and as I said, he has a connection with Ibn Ezra. But that's it. We don't really know more. Fine. Okay, fast forward to 1888. A Sefer HaYovel is supposed to come out, L'chvoid Gretz. So, they recruit different pieces. That's how it worked even back then. And the Yid, the famous Yid, Rav Shlomo Buber, decides that what he's going to publish for the first time is he's going to track down from the various libraries out there the manuscript of this Rav Shmuel on the Arach. Now, to understand is like this. Number one is, this fits into Buber's overall interests, manuscript of old materials. Number two is, it was very important for him in all his work, the Pirush HaMilim, and he published other works that relate to Pirush HaMilim from other experts. And he was very concerned in his Pirush a lot of times, because in order to understand Agadah, sometimes you have to understand a lot of words. So this was a thing that was of interest to him and fit into his other work that we have from him. And so he sets out now. Again, you have to understand, he's living in Galicia, Lemberg. Now, how does he get materials? That's all over. The Ksaviad, one's in Parma, one's in Cambridge. So now we have to understand the Yid, Rav Shlomo Buber. Just to mention briefly, Shlomo Buber had contact with hundreds of people all over probably over 1,000 different people, experts, Talmidei Chachamim, and academics all over. And basically, he writes out in the introduction to his article, where he's going to publish the materials, he's aware of the materials in Parma from the De Rossi collection. That's where his materials ended up. So he talks about that. He translates a few of those entries that were written in Latin. He's aware of the materials that about the Aruch that's in the Pinsker's volume. And he reaches out to his friend, the famous Ephraim Deinhard, who gets him a copy of that manuscript that was used by Pinsker much earlier. Now, he's aware of Scheer's discussion on the topic. So after all this, he writes to Parma, to his friends over there, he has connections over there, the head of the library. I don't even believe he was Jewish. Could you have copied for me the materials? Okay. He then has materials copied for him in other libraries. Now, obviously, part of the story is that he was a wealthy man, so he was able to afford to have all this material copied. And in short is, he gets copied, he reaches out to his friend, who we just spoke about, Shlomo Halberstam, who also had manuscripts copied. He gets from him a version of his. He already had reached out to one of the libraries and gotten a different nusach of the Sefer Aruch of the Rasi that seems it was housed elsewhere. There were others that had versions of this work. He gets everything about it. Now, then he says, yeah, there's a work in Hilchos Shechita, and my good friend Halberstam is right to point out that it is, and that's the Pshat d'Iter, and Scheer, and my friend Scheer got it wrong. Fine. So in short, what's happening over here is he reaches out with his connections and gets all the various manuscripts, and that's what he uses to publish. What's interesting is that surviving in Hebrew University today is some draft of this work. And so he publishes the work, Api the Seder Aleph Beis, which it turns out is, it's some type of Ha'aris, Ha'isafis to the Sefer Ha'aruch. And what's more important about the work, we'll get to also in a moment. Now, now turns out there's yet another clue. And this is always the issue with these type of Svarim, which is, with these type of authors, they're on the hunt. Where can we find them? More information? So another address that people always like to check, a great work is called Eitzar Svarim from Yitzhak Isaac Ben Yaakov Mivilna. The son publishes Yitzhak Isaac's work in 1880, and you open up the entry about Agur. Now, Agur is not published at that time, because as I said, the Agur only comes to be published, which is the materials on the Aruch. That's what ends up being called by Buber. It was only in 1888 for Gretz, so how does he know about it? Answer is, because of De Rossi. And that's what he tells you, look in De Rossi. And he also knows that Perkowitz had a had a manuscript about it. He also refers to that. Fine. Then he says that there's another work from this Yid called either Rachash or Roish Kolimud. And fine, he discusses the name Agur, which we'll discuss also. And bottom line is, he leads you to another work. So now, all of a sudden, Buber doesn't leave any stone unturned. He wants to track down about that. What's the story? So he writes to Parma and the Vatican to find out what's going on with this work. He writes to a Yid Goldblum, which is a fascinating story in its own right, who's in Paris, to get for him the materials. And bottom line is, they're not able to confirm at this point in time what's the story with that work. Is it really this diktuk work? Is it this author or not? And that actually is left open. But bottom line is that he goes ahead and he publishes the work. Now, Buber is also aware of, Lamashal, all the literature. Now, he didn't have no Eitzar Chachma, he didn't have the internet. He has materials from Steinschneider, he has everything, the newspapers, which is the point. The way you were up to be able to build the puzzle at this time in 1888 is he had all the newspaper articles that were written about it from, and he had reached out letters to all his contacts. He says, oh, I got from this Rabbi Akiva Eiger from Berlin, the work that he puts out in the Ben Ezra. Just now came out from Kaufman, the Kibitz Al Yad. So the next piece. And then basically he has other manuscripts, and he has the newspaper article, there's an additional article in Hamelitz, and then there's in the Shachar, and then Reifman has ours in the Carmel later on. But Ketzer, bottom line is that in order to be up to date with the materials, you got to have contacts and do your research. And this is what Buber does, and this is what he does consistently in all his works through his vast chain and connections with all different people. He reaches out to all the libraries, but he also had and went through and was familiar with all the literature on this thing, and he writes about it in this introduction. Okay, now just to mention three last points for today, and that is as follows. So he calls it, it's published as Sefer HaAgur. Now, as I said, 1978, it's republished by Makar. So they, a lot of times, they republish a work, and they'll add in, you know, some material in the back. So in a different print, you see, someone must have written some type of review on the Agur. And he says, whoever writes this review writes, it could be that Gama was a Gama, whatever you want to call him, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Talmud Halacha, but language, I don't know how good he was. And he writes a very harsh review. And you wonder, who is this? And they don't give you a clue. Where did they get this review from? But it's a review from print of letters from with Isaias of the 1880s, 1890s. I'm going nuts to locate it. Okay, fine. After looking, I'm able to locate that this has to do with the Chalutz journal. Turns out, but when you look at Chalutz, it's unclear who wrote this review. Bottom line was, it was sure the famous person who obviously is going to be very harsh, but he was an expert and he knew a Welt, the Talmud Reb Shlomo Kluger. So he wrote a harsh review on this aspect of the Sefer, fine. And just to point, and just two other points was that what's the significance of the Sefer is we learn about a lot of Ga'inim and Ga'inic works that were around at the time that this author seemed to have had, which will be the subject for the next episode. And the last Nakuda to end with is Azoy. So after Buber publishes it, and then it seems he published it in the Sefer for Lechavod Gratz, he publishes it itself, fine. And I did not have a chance to check if there's differences in the two things, but like this, there was a Yid Moshe Reines, who I published, a son of Rav Reines, and he's somewhere like in his late teens, and he's developing a kesher with Buber through many letters, and which I published many of them in a book called Mifchar Ksavim Moshe Reines. Interestingly enough, he wrote a review about this work Agur of Buber, praising it, but I don't know where the review was. It seems he submitted it to one journal and they lost it, and then it sounds like he rewrote it and submitted it elsewhere, and maybe it was published, but I've wasted an embarrassing amount of time trying to locate it and been unsuccessful in locating it. Okay. Anyway, in the next episode, we will continue this story of this great Yid, and to get us back to Masechtas Chulin and this incredible work of his on Hilchos Shechita that was only published for the first time 2018, and beforehand, as we saw already, there were some bits and pieces in the 1850s, 1860s of this Yid.